This is Buttermilk Worthy with City Grant. I want to get on the subject of musicians and artists and whatnot. That, you know, a lot of them, there's a thing called the 27 Club. And a lot of people have looked into that. And there's a huge list of artists, musicians, not that have died at 27. It's a club. It's a real thing. And few. We're talking, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse. Else, if you want to go with an actress, the Anton Yelchin. But I mean, there's hundreds on this list, and some you've never heard of, some that other people have heard of. You know, painters, singers, rappers, baseball players for the MLB, football players, NFL, and whatnot. But there's a few that, you know, barely. At least let's skip the 27 Club. One that resonates in my head is Jeff Buckley. And he skipped that club, but he died at 30. To me, Jeff Buckley himself is a legend. That he's my mythical creature. He's my unicorn when it comes to music. All the people, not a lot of people remember him or think about putting on his music or his album. Let's go into a little bit about Jeff Buckley. His mother, Mary Gilbert, and his father, Tim Buckley, who was actually a known artist at the time. He was recording folk and jazz albums in the 60s and 70s. And he died when Jeff Buckley was 8. He said he only met him once. And he died when he was 8 of a drug overdose in 1975. Jeff Buckley himself, born in Anaheim, California, November 17th, 1966. And he ended up being raised by his mother and his stepdad in Southern California. His stepdad, Ron Moorhead, and he had a half-brother, Corey Moorhead. When he was a kid, he was given an acoustic guitar in his grandmother's closet when he was young, and he picked that up and started playing it. And when he was 12, he was gifted, I think by his mother and stepfather, a black Les Paul. And he really got into the electric guitar and the school band playing and all that. After high school, though, he spent over 6 years working at a hotel in L.A. And he played as a session guitarist for a few bands and recorded and whatnot. He became, he was picked up by a lesser-known band, the Wild Blue Wonder, from 88 to 89. And the Wild Blue Yonder, Tool's Danny Carey was in that band. And while playing in that, the band, the Blue Wonder, he eventually got signed with Columbia as a solo artist. And he had a band, of course. Of course, he went by Jeff Buckley. But he ended up releasing one album. The album was called Grace in 1994. And it had songs along the lines of Mojo Pin, Grace, Last Goodbye, Lilac Wine, So Real. He did a cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Went number one on Billboard's Hot Digital Songs. And it also reached number two in UK's single charts. In that album was also the song Lover, You Should Have Come Over, Corpus Christi Carol, which is one of my favorites, Eternal Life, Dream Brother, and last but not least, Forget Her, which is a great song. Lilac Wine itself is one of my favorites, and Last Goodbye. Honestly, this whole album, 1994 Grace album, is amazing. A lot of people don't know of it, but it was his only album that he actually got to record. He actually signed with a recording deal with Columbia. He signed for a 3-album record deal for over $1 million. When the Grace album was actually released, even Bob Dylan named him one of the songwriters of the decade. David Bowie also named Grace one of the 10 albums he'd bring with him on a deserted island. That's how good it was. After that album was recorded and released in 1994, Jeff Buckley and his band, they toured the U.S., Europe, Japan, Australia, and they started recording another album, a second album, of course. That was the deal with the record company. And it was My Sweetheart the Drunk. And they started recording that in New York City with Tom Verlaine as the producer. At the time, while they were recording that, Jeff Buckley had moved to Memphis, Tennessee. He wanted to get back to his roots, and he played weekly solo shows downtown in Memphis, Tennessee. It was pretty neat. That was, you know, during the time of recording his second album. In 1996, 1996 came around, he was awaiting his band to come in, and some of the band members to come in from New York and other places. And while waiting for them to come in to Memphis, he took a little trip, and he went down and he decided to go for a swim in the Wolf River, tributary of the Mississippi. They found his body in the river. He had drowned. Toxicology shows nothing in his system at all. He wasn't drinking, didn't have any drugs in his system, anything like that. Completely sober. But he died at 30. And he died while recording his second album, which was My Sweetheart the Drunk, which they got around to recording 4 demo songs for that. So those are floating out there, and it's pretty neat. Sad, the circumstances that went on around recording those 4 demos, but it's neat that if you like Jeff Buckley and you like the 1994 Grace album, it's neat that they have 4 demos of a song that was going on, that he was working on with his band for his second album, My Sweetheart the Drunk. But Jeff Buckley himself, at the time Rolling Stones included Grace, the album Grace, in its list of 500 greatest albums of all time. They also included him in the list of greatest singers of all time. A lot of people don't think of Jeff Buckley when they think of a frontman, one of the greatest frontmen, one of the greatest singers. But he is definitely in my top 3. He's one of my number ones. 1994 album Grace. Another artist that is actually in the 27 Club, who's a female artist that is, I think, comparable to Jeff Buckley, Amy Winehouse. Amy Jade Winehouse, being born September 14, 1983. She was born in Gordon Hill, Enfield, England. She had a Jewish parent, Mitch Janice Winehouse. Grew up with slightly older brother, Alec Winehouse. Her debut album in 2003, Frank. It ended up being a success in the UK. The album Frank had a range of songs, such as Stranger Than Me, which won an Ivor Novello Award for Amy. You Sent Me Flying, Fuck Me Pumps, I Heard Love Is Blind, and then after that she switched labels to Island Label. And in 2006, she recorded the album Back to Black, and it was a hit internationally. It was nominated British Album of the Year with songs as Rehab, which won her second Ivor Novello Award, and You Know I'm No Good, Back to Black, Tears Dry on Their Own, Love Is a Losing Game. Great album, Back to Black. Everybody knows the song Rehab. 2008, she won 5 awards at the Grammys, which was a big deal. Still is. A lot of us know her from her personal life, though. Tabloids and all. Which I always do. No, I used to. When it was good and real, and you know, everything was fake and made up. She always had trouble when she started producing Back to Black, struggling with drugs and mental illness. She was suffering with an eating disorder, bulimia. After recording Back to Black, she married a guy named Blake Fielder Civil. And that didn't last too long. 2007-2009. He actually admits to tabloids back in the day that he introduced her to crack and heroin. She ended up being convicted of assault. Some bar landlord he punched in the face, broke a nose, and ended up having Amy herself having to pay $200,000 so the guy would drop charges. They ended up divorced. They ended up dating film director Reg Travis till her abrupt death on July 23rd, 2011, age 27. She died of alcohol poisoning at her Camden Square home in London. Her brother Alec, he to this day thinks it was a combination of bulimia and her alcohol abuse. Lean more towards the bulimia, because we all know she was deathly skinny in her last days. Her voice alone is recognizable among almost any artist, any musician. And she was also ranked VH1's 26 out of 100 greatest women in music. Another person that takes me back to the 27 Club list is a male actor. Anton Yelchin was born March 11th, 1989. Parents Victor Yelchin and Irina Karina were a pair of figure skaters in Russia. They started in the Leningrad Ice Ballet for nearly 15 years. And Anton Yelchin was born in St. Petersburg. When Anton was 6 months old, his parents picked up and brought him over to the States as a refugee. He went to the Sherman Oaks Center for Enriched Studies in Tarzana, California. And in 2007, he began at the University of Southern California studying film. He played for a punk band called The Hammerhead. From 2004 to 2006, he was a regular on the Showtime series comedy Huff. In 2006, he starred in Alpha Dog. 2009, he played Pavel Chekhov in Star Trek Reboot, and then went on to playing
in Star Trek Into Darkness and Star Trek Beyond, 2013 and 2016. 2013, he played Don Thomas, and he was also the voice of Clumsy in Smurfs in 2015. Green Room in 2015, great movie. That's just a few films and series he was in. He was in a good bit more. His life ended with an actually bizarre death. He was, supposedly he was getting out of his Jeep at the front gate to go check his mail or something, and it went out of gear, and it kept rolling toward, I guess it rolled toward him and pinned him between his front gate and the front of the Jeep, and he had missed a, rehearsal that day, and somebody found him pinned between the Jeep and the, front gate. That was June 19, 2016. He, died of traumatic asphyxia, and that was in Studio City, Los Angeles, California.